Oh man, what's up?
Yeah. Listeners, can you tell that Andrew, does he sound like he's in an upscale environment?
Oh,
because he is.
There.
I wonder if you can hear it in his voice.
Mm-hmm. It proved. What I am basically actually doing is, you know, the movie Parasite.
Uh-huh.
I'm simply doing that.
Which part?
Being the rich family.
Yeah. No.
Wait, Matt. So Matt, you're the guy in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I'm eating the scraps. I'm just happy to have a banana to eat in a weird way.
Uh-huh. And Andrew, you're the actual rich family.
I guess so. I'm house sitting for my cousin right now. House and dog sitting for my cousin right now. And yeah, this place is pretty. It's too much. It's too much.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very fancy pants. I will say, actually, I didn't know where we were going to start because I just made and ate my lunch in about 10 minutes. And I don't know, about like 1 minute before this recording started, all of the smoke alarms in the house were going off because I
what
put a little too much too much char on a pork chop.
Ooh.
So. So that Oof. Was stressful.
I bet it was good though.
That pork chop was good. I mean, you guys saw me eating the very end of it, but yeah, it was good as hell. I was just then now, and so I also have a we'll call him rambunctious dog to look after, and I am actually realizing I got to make sure this mofo doesn't eat that pork chop bone, which he can get to.
Right. You want to go grab it and hang on to it at least? I know you said the dog's a little testy with you. Is that going to make him attack you?
Yeah, I think the thing is, the reality of it is, if he gets his paws on that bone, that's his bone.
So that's true.
I'm just gonna let you know right now, I'm not fighting him for that bone.
Animals have rights.
Yeah. This one actually has more than rights. He has significant privileges. And they are...
Wow.
He's the homeowner at this point. Like, yeah. You are a guest and he's the homeowner.
Well, as I said, I'm parasiting this mofo. If I were to describe how he's using those privileges, I would say poorly.
You have notes.
We'll just say he could be more gracious. I'm watching a dog stand in a weird apartment a literal house. And yeah, chilling. How are you doing?
I'm good. I will quickly say that this is the podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? Where we
talk
to you about your
Lord.
Voicemail racism questions about voicemail.
Yeah,
with me, Tawny Newsome, him, Andrew T, and your boy Matt Apodaca.
Hey, hey, hey! What's up, everybody?
Hey. But I was gonna say that animals do have rights over the home that they have claimed, and I'll say I know this because if you saw my Twitter this weekend, you'll know that a roadrunner claimed my home, and when the firefighters left my home, they left a door open, which God bless them. They're doing a lot. They're worrying about a lot. I really can't be mad at them leaving a door open. It made my heart jump in my throat when I heard about it, but what are you going to do? No one knows we're there. So there's no one to take anything. But what does happen is you will get approximately one tiny fluffy desert mouse and one very confused, flightless bird. Just rambling around in a bathroom.
So yeah, do we think that the roadrunner perhaps outsmarted the firemen and made them think they were running still, but actually they just fell somewhere?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think mm-hmm. so. There were a lot of comments about, did someone just paint a tunnel on the side of the wall? And is there a firefighter just pancaked on the outside of your house? There's a lot of solid humor in there. I couldn't quite even keep up with all the comments, but... Yeah, some shenanigans happened. Nate said it did shit in the bathroom.
Oh no!
But yeah,
that's where that's where you're supposed to shit. Just
I know.
To be fair.
I was like, he got pretty close. I wish he was toilet trained is all. but yeah, Nate let him out, and then you know we hope to see him again because he is now legally a part owner in our home.
Yeah,
he claimed it. He's
you
on
hope
the lease.
To see him again because you owe him rent and
yeah, he is our landlord now. Roadrunner landlord, you gotta catch. He's a little quick, but when you do catch him, you owe him money.
Do you think you can convince the Roadrunner to join your band?
Oh,
ooh, I wonder what he'd play. Just like chimes,
yeah.
Just play chimes.
Get him to meep, meep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder where that noise came from. I don't think they make that noise.
No, and you know what, Chuck Jones.
Yeah.
You're canceled.
That is one of the best things about the Looney Tunes Roadrunner is how it is like there's simply no attempt to make it anything like like it's more well, like the why... word Roadrunner than the bird Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they took the road never knowing if it was real or not and just made up what they thought because I mean, yeah. Needless to say, they're not purple, but they're also not tall. Like, they're not like long-necked, tall birds. They're like a little skinny, like ratty-looking chicken. Oh no, Matt! That's going to be the name of this episode, isn't it?
Ratty-looking chicken. Well, we'll see. You know what? That's not on me. If we beat it, we'll beat it. But if we don't, it's going to be ratty-looking chicken, and I can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
Sometimes Matt gets a glint in his eye when we're talking, and I'm like, damn it, he's going to name the episode this.
I mean, we could tell him not to, but we never do.
Yeah, it's true. You guys, you see the email before it goes out to the world. Someone could be like, hey, let's change this.
No. Respond to an additional email, I couldn't possibly.
Couldn't be me.
Never happening. Tawny, how have you been? We missed you last week.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I wasn't even here last week. The weeks are blurring together.
Nothing matters.
I know. Everything's so wild. I've been okay. It's just weird times. It's weird times. I don't have any news because I don't have any brain cells. But yeah, I mean, I posted about how my house was threatened by fire and ultimately has been okay. But, you know, I'm just kind of like, I had a lot of people reach out before that, which is why I posted about it. Because a lot of people saw where the fire was and were just like, hey, are you guys okay? So I wanted to tell people that our house is there. But, you know, it's a weird feeling because I got very lucky, but I also am very sad because, you know, like we moved out there for the environment and to see that destroyed has been really, and I'm not there. So I'm also like catastrophizing it a little bit. Nate has been kind of controlling what I see. Like when he FaceTimes me and stuff, he like prefaces things and shows me whatever. But, you know, it'd be like if you bought a cool house that you like, that's nice and fine, but then like your entire neighborhood around you burned down and you're like the coffee shop you like, the park that you take your kids to, like imagine all that shit is fucked up. Yeah, your house is great, but like it just feels, yeah, there's just a weird sense of loss while also feeling guilty because you should be grateful. So yeah, I feel nuts about that, but I'm super grateful for Nate being there and taking care of shit. But then that was wild because I was actually talking to you because the night that I was the most worried about it was the night that we lost RBG. And I couldn't even properly like process that or think about what that meant. Because I was dealing with my own like micro shit and it just made me think like, oh, that's what this whole year has been. Like everyone's having tiny tragedy upon tiny tragedy so that when these large macro things happen to our country, to our people, it's hard to process or hold space for anything else. I will say that because I don't know what the fuck to say about losing a giant like that, but what I did immediately was go listen to former guest of the show Imani Gandhi's podcast Boom Lawyered, because they're both, you know, smart reproductive health experts and funny people, and just listening to them, they recorded it like that night, just listening to them kind of like going through it and processing what it meant was helpful to me. So I recommend that. for y'all.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit on the cast last week. I don't think there's anything more to add other than, you know, abortion rights are clearly the first and most obvious thing that are in severe peril. Mm-hmm. But that's also, look, this isn't like, doesn't mitigate what's going to happen or what might happen, I suppose, but what is very likely to happen. However, there are things you can do, you know, don't despair if you can. It's okay to despair, but if you're lucky to be able to help yourself, help other people, help women, poor women especially, and, you know, disproportionately women of color, like, those are the people that are going to have their rights immediately assailed by this particular institutional change. So, you know, it's not great, but, you know, as we've said many times, you know, these national federal level tragedies are simply laws that will be used to hurt people, highly disproportionately women of color in this case. And one thing you personally can do, even when you can't fight the big system on your own, you can help people, a woman, anything. There's just like helping another person is a thing that you can do, I guess, that, you know, it can also be a thing that it's about. One way to not slip into despair is to take the victories for what they are and just know that it is, you know, just a constant battle. And that's what it is. Sorry, I feel like I'm saying the same generic thing over and over again. And maybe part of it is to convince myself that I believe it. But, you know, it is the thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is before. Oh, go ahead.
No, I have nothing. I have nothing. I'm like, my brain is kind of scrambled eggs these days. It's very strange for me to be experiencing this. All these tough things in a weird place that's not my house.
Yeah.
I'm just in this bizarre hotel room, but it's a very nice hotel room. I just, I think I've gone full feral mountain person, and I'm used to, when I walk out, I'm serious. This is going to sound like the countryest shit I've ever said, but I go for a 3-mile walk every day here. And my like knees and my feet are like annoyed that it's paved. Like, I'm like, why am I on so much pavement? Cause I just haven't been since like January of this year.
I mean, so, Connie, yeah, you don't have to wear shoes. That's on you.
No, see, Andrew, that's some white people bullshit. I wear shoes. I may be country, but I'm country in the appropriate footwear, sir.
You're good country.
I was trying to start the damn show light with our animal talk, because someone on Twitter was like, you guys should have you joked before about having an animal encounters pod. And I'm like, tempted to, like, it would be more soothing if we just talked about animal encounters. Matt, do you see an animal recently?
I haven't seen, you know, I suspect there's a skunk nearby.
You suspect?
Oh.
Yeah, because I feel like I smell skunk.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I can't identify if it's been here recently or if it's sprayed like a dog that lives like near me or something, or what the deal is. But I feel like, or if it's dead somewhere, which would be sad.
I think you'd know.
I guess I would know. But I smell something.
Mm-hmm.
So
great. Okay.
See, indisputable. You smell something.
Kind of a
the fact is, there's a smell.
Oh, hey, do you guys smell who The Rock is endorsing? Sorry, that was a Ben Schwartz tweet that I just nabbed.
Ooh, geez.
Yeah, no, it's not great. Sorry, Ben. The Rock endorsed Biden Harris. How do we feel about? I know this isn't even really like our lane, but I found it interesting. No, go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, like, because I've had my doubts about The Rock. I've always loved him, but I've always been, I guess, worried that he was maybe a Trump supporter. Only because he's been apolitical, like, forever. He's never really said anything.
Too quiet for a rich person of color to not be a Trump supporter.
Exactly. And then a few months ago, like in the pandemic, like in these times, he posted this video where he was like standing like really buff in like his library, and he was like, "Where are you? Where are our leaders?" And I was like, "Oh shit, he doesn't like Trump. This rules."
Yeah.
Now he's never made an endorsement before, and so now I'm back. I'm in line at the barbecue, baby. I smell what he's cooking, and I love The Rock.
You love The Rock. Okay, I'm glad for you. I previously had neutral, if not a little dismissive, feelings of The Rock. Nothing negative, just like you don't enter my world in any meaningful way. Mm-hmm. I guess I still feel that way, but it's interesting when you see someone like that who has, you know, and he claims, you know, he says he's an independent centrist. So he definitely has fans on both sides of the thing.
Yes.
I know the answer to this, but I just want to say this out loud. Do we give a shit at all about famous people who have stayed out of politics, quote unquote, losing a bunch of shithead fans and do we care about the flack that The Rock is about to get? Maybe not losing fans, but like the abuse that he's probably suffering, you know, because the internet's so horrible. I mean, he's probably I don't want to overstate it, but I bet there are people sending threats of some kind.
Yeah.
Do we have empathy for that?
I think he's so big that if anyone, I bet you he's like, come threaten me. Come see what even happened to you. I'll crush you with my thumb, you idiot.
I think for me, there's also like, every time this gets said, all the racists are like, you should stick to entertainment. This is why we're the heartland. And it's like, yeah, but you just lost the fan. It's like, okay, have fun with right-wing entertainment, fools. Like,
yeah, enjoy Kid Rock.
Yeah. Like those people always have to come back because it's like, what the fuck else are they gonna watch? Like,
yeah.
Just Frasier monologues, like there's just nothing for them, you know. Like,
man,
which is fine.
Frasier monologues, but it's like Kid Rock. Why are you guys coming for me at 15 so hard?
I was gonna say Frasier does sort of like, unfortunately, like up their handicap like a little bit. Like it's given them a lot, but not a whole lot else comes even close.
But like Kelsey Grammer, only.
The boss.
You know what I mean? So it's like, fine. That's fine. You want it without the writers, without anything.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
Just a Kelsey Grammer cameo. That's right-wing entertainment. That's the height of right-wing comedy. That's as good as it gets.
No, thank you. Besides him falling off that stage.
Yeah. I guess South Park. South Park is as good as right-wing comedy gets.
Yeah.
God, I didn't even know that they were. I don't know anything about South Park.
They're libertarian.
I worked at Comedy Central for like 11 years.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Andrew's got all the tea. Tell us who else is a secret secret right winger.
No, I don't know.
Let us know in the comments.
They're not secret about it. They're just like, oh, we're libertarians. It's like, okay. Still? All right. Okay.
Yeah, so what do you mean?
Okay, cool.
All right, cool. Okay, so Matt's not worried about The Rock because he's like, if anyone threatens him, he's like, I'll treat you like I treat this t-shirt I'm wearing. It will be punished beyond belief.
Yeah. Yeah, just stressed to the max.
I mean,
won't kill you, but you won't feel well.
You won't fit.
And from the inside, you know?
Right.
I mean, I actually think the more, to me, significant one, because the thing is, The Rock still is like, he's black, right? He's mixed and he's still a person of color.
Yeah.
To me, not to like make this a contest or anything, but I was shocked when fucking Taylor Swift was like, you better vote for not Trump. Because I was like, oh, her fan base is Trump supporters. Like,
yeah.
Right?
Did Did you ever see, I know the answer to this, but do you watch The Good Fight?
Mm-mm.
The Good Fight is a perfectly batshit show. It's a spinoff of The Good Wife, but it's a very, like, it's like a lawyer procedural show, but it's like a ripped from the headlines, you know? And they do episodes that are very, like, they don't disguise who they're talking about at all. And mm-hmm. the one about, like, a Taylor Swift type pop star, where they literally have, like, they're the law firm for the DNC, and they have the DNC, like, sit down with her about, for months, about, like, crafting how she's gonna come out as what she truly believed. And I tend to believe that the, you know, because you know how, mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that you and I know some of the people we know is insane. So I tend to mm-hmm. be like, Hollywood writers' rooms have a lot of connections to wild ass places, especially in the DNC. So I tend to take episodes like that as, you know, fact-ish fiction. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to me to think about someone like her feeling that way her whole life. Like, these feelings are honest, and not being maybe allowed because she was very young, or not being advised to speak out on it until there was a very crafted, you know, it was like mm-hmm. an album release when she finally mm-hmm. came out.
There's also came out. Jesus.
I know.
It's like, as not a piece of human garbage like we maybe thought she might be.
But when you're talking about millions of dollars like that, it's not just her decision, you know?
I know. Well, they,
much pressure from.
Well, yeah, that's what, I guess what I was going to say is, like, someone like that is not simply a Taylor Swift. She is the Taylor Swift Corporation that, like, yeah. employs thousands of people, hundreds of people for sure. And it's yeah. like, you know, you are going to affect not just your livelihood, but other people's livelihood, potentially other people's safety. And so I get it. You got to be careful with that. It's sad and, to me, kind of fucked up, but
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Also, couldn't have done this shit in 2015, 2016.
I know, right?
The fuck is wrong with you?
That would
both
be great.
Of them. Jesus.
I feel the same way about Taylor Swift as I feel about The Rock. Like, no negative feelings, just a real professional and personal neutral. So I don't know why I'm writing so hard.
I smell what Taylor's cooking, and I love Taylor.
I will just say, to me, the asterisk was, I like both of their work. I don't care that much about both of their work, and I definitely assume both of them were Trump supporters, like, in a vacuum.
Before.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That is pretty much where I was at. I was like, ugh, I like this stuff. I'm going to assume that they are Trump supporters for the taxes, and they, like, don't love the racism and sexism, but they can live with it because they're rich. That is truly where I thought they were.
Sure. I get that.
I guess one thing, we need to take a break soon, and we don't have anything to add. It's only that we recorded last week's episode before the travesty of justice that was the Breonna Taylor grand jury findings. I don't know. Nothing to say other than, yeah, the justice system is fully racist and corrupt. The thing is, like, yeah, sure, in a sense, by the letter of the law, the DA did what he could, but also, no. Like, you can indict anybody. Like, that's a famous truism amongst district attorney. That was a little joke in there, sorry.
I also don't have anything to add other than what's already been said ad nauseum, but I'll just repeat what you always say, Andrew, which is, you know, there are people out there still organized and still fighting, and so finding ways to support them, following their lead, asking them what they need for help, is really all you can do, because there are still people out there in the streets. And so if you feel helpless, I said this too, I did a podcast with Imani Gandhi, who I mentioned before. And I was like, everyone has their friend who's like 10 shades more radical than they are. So just text that person or message that person and be like, hey, what do you need help with? Like, what do you need? And it might be something small. It might be something big. It might not be in your scope, but, you know, that's a place to start.
And I think people always think, you know, again, I've said this a million times, which is like, you know, oh, I'm too old / immunocompromised maybe in COVID times / like weak in X or Y way that you think is the only way that you can be strong in this situation, you know, whether it's a protest, whether it's, you know, battling city council, chiefs of police, police unions, whatever. Like, there's always something you can do to support. And the thing is, it's like every, revolution, uprising, disagreement always has a place for everybody. Like, you can help.
Yep.
You know, no one likes washing the dishes in the revolution, but guess what? They have to get washed. So, do that and know that that is also very valuable, even though it's not glamorous or what you had in mind, maybe. But everyone can contribute. And I think, you know, again, you have to contribute. How about that? I feel like for a lot of this year, we've been like, do what you can. Yeah. Do something, though. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of what you can. Like, that's not even that hard of a thing to say. You have to contribute. You're alive and shit's bad right now. So we're all doing something. And
yeah,
I don't think so. That's
Or that do more than you were doing. How about that? You know, not everyone is in a position, but you can always do more. I'm sure.
Start talking to that white family. Start talking. Yeah. Start just, hey, mama. Hey, Mima. What's going on with your voting this year?
I found out my piece of shit dad is, what did I say on Twitter? Which was the direct quote from my sister. Voting Democrat this time. Which is so loaded and so fucked up. And it's like, my dad is truly garbage with, like, all of his ideas about how society should work. I would strongly guess that the maybe only thing that bothers him about Trump is that he says China virus. Like, and it's kind of gross that, like, only when it is self-interested open racism against him specifically that my dad gives a shit. But I suspect, and look, I don't know, I'm speaking for him, but I suspect that is the case. So I don't know, but it's also just like, I long ago gave up on my dad because it's like, fuck him.
Well,
I don't know.
At least we got one this time.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. You know, it's also like, he could change his mind at any moment. He's a right-wing dude and they are liars. Okay, let's take a break.
Let's take a break. And we're back from our break. Here we go.
Should we punch a voicemail? These are kind of good ones this week.
Ooh.
Oh yeah?
I think so.
Why don't you give us good ones every week?
They don't always cooperate. People don't always cooperate.
Hey, Andrew and Tawny. So I was talking to my mom on the phone yesterday, and she was telling me that they have a Black Lives Matter sign in their yard, which, good. But then she told me that a new Black family that moved to the neighborhood saw it and then gave them a gift card for $25. What's that about?
I took a drink of water at the wrong time. Where is the gift card to? We need to know.
$25. That's the George Soros money finally coming in.
Yeah. They got that from being paid to protest.
I'm going to say I hope this isn't real because I feel like maybe it is. I don't know. Like, it sounds like bullshit, but maybe it's not.
It sounds too mundane to be bullshit.
That's it true. Stops there. Like, that's just like, that's like where the call ends.
Matt's waiting for more voicemail.
I was like, I thought something happened. Like, I thought that like something like it failed or so. I was like waiting for more. That's
something
barely
did happen, Matt. Friendship.
Yeah,
happened.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
Vibes. Mm-hmm.
You know what? When you put it that way, how dare I even want more than that?
I mean,
I don't know what to do here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no
do
one
people,
does.
So they put
it's
up a sign.
Presumably it's a bit, or that is just how shitty the rest of the neighborhood is. Or,
and the Black people are like, hey man, thanks for your support. here's a token of our appreciation.
Yeah. I guess if you're new in town, like normally you would, I don't know, bake a cake or something or a little pie.
No, you receive gifts when you're new. When you're new, people bring you the pie.
Oh, yeah.
You don't go around handing shit out to these people who already live there.
That's true. I'm not taking anyone's baked goods in COVID. I'm not doing that.
No, that's true. We don't know if their hands are clean.
But I'm just confused. I'm just confused because, I mean, normally there's more than that. And I'm just stuck on, like, what the caller thought we would do with this in terms of, like, the thesis of the show. Like, I just, like, I don't know why this, and I ate lunch. I got enough sleep. Like, I don't know why. I feel like I looked into, like some sort of, like, mythical idol, and I'm cursed now. Like, I don't know what happened to me.
Yeah, something's wrong. Something's up. But we are not going to find. I don't know. To me, this was the perfect call. I was just like, it's so
I wish
weird.
They were all like this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. What is up with that?
I mean, look. No, go ahead. It feels like if I were to extrapolate, which is insane because there's nothing to suggest this. But if I were to extrapolate and like maybe the question not being asked is like, should they give it back? Mm. Is that like rude to give back this thank you race token? And I would say no, they don't have to give it back because it's like $25. It's a, you know, fairly low. That's under an office white elephant gift mark, you know, amount. But just, I guess, just like tell your parents to just like try, just make friends with these people. Let's just be friends because now you've had contact and race aside, maybe just
whatever that conversation was like. Yeah. Just make them a gift card. Yeah. A bigger gift card, a $40 gift card.
Now I will say, now I'm thinking about like my kooky black family and like they do love I just bought too many of these. I'm going to give them as a gift type of a thing. My dad recently drove an RV down to park on my property to visit at a social distance. And when he showed up, he brought me, an oven mitt with a bunch of lemons on it that my aunt had bought. And it was like, your aunt bought this. So now you have one.
Actually, now that you're saying this, I'm seeing this very clearly because at Costco, you can get that shit that's like, you know, $100 worth of coffee bean and tea leaf gift cards for $87.
Yep.
And I know this because that's what everyone's assistant got for Christmas this year. Now, among other stuff. But
so, do you think this black family went to Costco, bought a bunch of gift cards because they were like, we're going to have to hand these out in the neighborhood, like the same way you give treats to a bunch of scary dogs? So they're like, well, we're moving to this all-white neighborhood. I don't know where this is, but things could be scary. I know, we'll hand out these treats
just
so that the white people are nice to us. And they thought they were going to be handing them out to unknown, you know, where people stand type folks. But then when they saw that Black Lives Matter family, they're like, well, we definitely got to give them one.
They get one. They get one. And the rest are for, like, if you're just ever in a weird situation with too many white people, you just take a card and, like, throw it down the block and be like, yo, there's a gift card over there for...
There's a gift card for Baja Fresh. Latte. You love that.
I'm going to tell you what. I do love a Baja Fresh.
I mean, a lot of people... I think black people are the only people who I don't see ever fucking with a Baja Fresh.
I think it's mostly white, but it is... You know, it's like Taco Bell, but better.
Black people, hit us up. Let me know if you're into a Baja Fresh. I've never seen us in there. Okay. Does this person need anything else? I don't know what you want
from
us. I think
they've gotten more than they deserve. Frankly.
Yeah. My only note also would just be, if you're going to call, finish the call. Just finish it.
But Matt, we give him so much shit about
I disagree.
And time.
I'm sorry. I'm vetoing this one. I like more ambiguity, more weirdness. If you can like hold your phone so you cut off your recording mid word.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. We're gonna get all these like David Lynch ass phone calls now.
Yeah. It's great. I don't know. Let's do another fucking voicemail. Let's see what happens.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and Matt, and any guest who might be there. I'm a white mother of a white son who last year at the school book fair used his own money to buy, in addition to a book, one of those, you know, quippy little bookmarks that they sell at the checkout table. And then the front, it says, it has a picture of miso soup, and it has a picture of pho, and it says, miso hungry, pho real. And it's, you know, he likes clever puns, and so that's why he picked it. And then on the back, it has a definition of what miso is. It talks about miso soup, and it talks about what pho is. So there's a little bit of a learning component to this bookmark. But I also thought, as clever perhaps as the pun is, it's also making fun of the language. And so I wanted to know, is this bookmark racist? And should I throw it away? Thanks.
Okay.
I just want to say, is bookmark racist?
She also said clever twice, which is, come on. This is not good work from the bookmark writers.
Puns are never good.
Mm-hmm. All right, Beth.
Pun is
okay.
I was gonna say if the thing can't beat the name of a restaurant that would serve either of these things, it's not good.
Just horribly. You can't call her, please. Just don't. Don't insult us by calling it clever twice. That is by far far and away my first reaction, and that probably says something about me. No,
it's you got that writer brain going. I mean, my first thought was like, I don't know. Sometimes I hear questions like this, and I get a little like, you know, eye rolly to the caller, which not your fault, caller at all. This is an issue with me. Where in my brain, I'm like. This isn't anything racial. It's just a dumb pun. This is just a pun. So like, why isn't there more? Everyone's barometers to me are just wild. And like, not that ours here is perfect, but I'm just like, I don't think you could find, maybe I'm wrong. Do you think we'd find many people of color who would be like, this is offensive and we should throw out this bookmark? Or is this just like,
I'm going to say two things, I guess, that sound contradictory, which is I suspect you could find very few Asian people who give a shit. However, it also is definitely racist. Like, but you don't have to care, but I mean, I don't
just
care.
Like, if there was a caricature that was racist on it, to me, it's like, you know, if the bookmark said, spaghetti up and give me a book to read or whatever, and it was like a plate of spaghetti.
I like
everyone.
I like
shut this. Up.
So that's clever, and I would say that upwards of twice.
That's just objectively better.
I hate you both.
No, I hate that other bookmark the most.
I say print a bookmark that says what Tawny said and throw the other one away and replace it with Tawny's bookmark.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be wrong here, but I think the stupid example I gave is analogous to that example or pretty similar, and I don't think either one is racist. I think they're just bad, dumb puns.
Yeah, I would say I think the degree to which it is racist is the low-level shit of like, well, did you just jam Asian things together because those were your two puns, and they're not really related or have anything to do with these. It's more that, right? It's more just like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. You were like this.
As opposed
to
like, if this was a series of bookmarks that were all about soup.
Yeah. But Like the thing is, the first time both of those puns were made were in a joke book under the section Oriental puns.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why it's like racist, but also what are you gonna, you know, who cares?
Yeah. Man, I just hope it's a series. I do hope it's a series of bookmarks that's just all soup. You know, one of them's just like, bisque, please, pick up a book.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the things that go hand in hand, books and soup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole line is called soup. There it is. Let me ask it.
Exactly. Oh, man.
We're better than this dumb kid. Hey, lady, we're smarter than your son.
Yeah.
Chapin, know your favorite authors.
Hold on, I'm thinking, what's the soup? Minestrone.
You got another soup one? You got another soup one? We have time. We have plenty of time. Yeah, we got
a bondigas.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah.
Pozole.
I'll
get something.
I love listening to Matt's list of soups.
Yeah. Avgalema, no more pages in this book. That's a Greek soup.
Oh, gazpacho.
Yeah, lady, just throw out the bookmark because it's dumb.
Yeah, it sucks.
How about that?
But maybe put something else in the book because, you know, nothing worse than a lost page.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So throw
that's
it away,
you don't
but
want
be,
that kid to lose their place.
Be conscientious.
Put a, let's see, what used his own money, but it's a bookmark. That was at most $2. Say it's a real nice plasticky kind of thing. Just put $2 where that bookmark was.
Yeah, use money as a bookmark. That'll teach the kid something.
Mm-hmm. When you finish the book, you can buy something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
when you finish the book, you can have this $2 to buy another terrible bookmark.
I was thinking about that. About how, like, if I ever have kids, I would want to raise them with, like, real weird kind of metaphors like that that don't really make sense. Like, they seem significant, but it's like, let's put like $100 bill as their bookmark and be like, think about that. And then they'd be like, I don't understand. It's like, you will one day.
You will one day.
Then take the $100 back and give them.
Yeah. Just five. Be super cryptic.
Yeah. You know, just really confuse the hell out of them. When I was in my 20s, my friends and I made a pact that actually, they have kids now, so they probably haven't been keeping this up, but which is that every Super Bowl Sunday, we would just tell our kids that the greeting for Super Bowl Sunday is you wish everyone a Super Bowl, and then you make a big old thing of soup, actually, to stay on topic.
Oh.
I just spent a lot of time brainstorming ways to mess up my kids in harmless ways.
Sure.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder if that ever went down. Anyway, Super Bowl to you and yours.
Super Bowl to everyone here. Everyone grab a soup, open a book. It's God's pairing.
Super Bowl us, everyone.
Yeah. Right? It feels right, sort of.
Yeah. It feels like a greeting. I like it. Should we do one more? Yeah.
Let's do one more.
Hello. I am a mixed woman of color. My mother is white and my father is indigenous. And I was calling in to ask how to talk to my white mother about racial injustice. The last conversation we had was actually the first time I had ever talked to my mom about my experiences as a brown person living in America. And it turned pretty sour. She just really didn't understand where I was coming from, and I wasn't trying to make her understand. It was more just, let's have a conversation around this. And it's like she almost didn't believe that my experiences were real and just couldn't accept that her daughter could ever be treated unfairly. I take after my father so much. My skin is very dark brown and I have indigenous features, and even with that, I tried to explain to her I've just never been seen as white or identified as white. And it was really hard to try to have this conversation with her. And I was just trying to get some answers or some advice on how to talk with my white parent about these things without it completely blowing up into an argument. Love the show. Thank you so much.
Oof.
I forgot there was one real question.
Oh, one that wasn't just about soup and Amazon gift cards or whatever.
What if it was like an iTunes gift card or just something real weird? Something that's like nice, but like, what am I going to do with this?
Not super useful. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to be thinking about those first two questions for way too long. You've cursed me. So I'm actually glad for this one to, like, you know, it's like you get a song stuck in your head. You need to immediately listen to another song. So this is the other song. It's going to clear my brain. I think something that I've heard from a lot of mixed people, I don't know that I exactly had this experience with my white parent, but because my mom and I have a really good relationship, so I think we've always been able to talk about things even when they're tough. But what I've heard from other mixed people is that what can happen a lot of times is that your white parent, no matter how brown you look, because you come from them, especially when it's a mom, because you literally came out of their body, many times they can, in a way, just see you as white or not understand that the world doesn't see them when they look at you. Like, they don't see you as both necessarily. They just see you as whatever your dominant features are. And so what I think can happen is that a lot of times that parent can, if you think of it in a gracious way, or like a, that's not the word I want, but if you think of this as a really fucked up kindness that your white parent is trying to do to you, it's almost like they're trying to extend their white privilege to you. They want you to be protected. Even if you have a fraught relationship, parents always want their children to be protected and safe and have opportunities. So they want to believe that you are like them, that you experience the same privileges as them. It also creates less distance between you if they can look at you as white and believe that the world treats you in some way as white. It doesn't force them to deal with the fact that their child is hurting in a way that they can't understand. And that can be really tough to break through that because, I don't know, you're just coming up against all kinds of like parental protectiveness shit. You're coming up against basically telling your parent that they don't know you. This is deep. It's deep and difficult. So my only advice would be to, the next time you talk about it, try and look at it. Yeah. With like, I don't know, approach it with like a little bit of gratitude. I know that sounds fucked up, but like, it's like, thank you for trying to protect me. However, you're not correct about this, you know?
Yeah. I have a question that's going to sound glib and sound like kind of the glib shit I've said before, but isn't meant to be. And I guess it's more for the caller, but because you're here, Tawny, it's sort of for you, which is like, is it so bad? Because the caller said, like, what's a way to do this without it becoming a fight? And part of me is like, what is so bad about it? You know, you don't want it to be a fight in that you say things you don't mean or whatever, but like, it kind of, like, something like this that's existential, like, it feels like the version that gets to something truthful is going to feel like a fight, you know? There's going to be significant amounts of like, no, you do not understand me. You do not understand my experience. So maybe fight is just a bad way to look at it, but it feels like the version of this that's healthy also kind of looks like a fight.
It could be. I think some people are just more comfortable having tension with their parents and some people aren't. So it sounds like the caller is not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But if you are more comfortable with it, then yeah, just fight and get through it.
I guess that's what I mean. It's like you, if your only goal is to avoid, quote, conflict or making them feel uncomfortable, it doesn't feel like you can possibly get to an actual good resolution. Because it's like, yeah, however, whatever tone it gets set in, there's some pretty serious things that you need to explain to your mom that are going to be very hard for her and are going to be painful because they deeply affect her worldview. And there's a chance she, no matter what the caller does, will react badly. And that isn't like something you have to, I think you should have to avoid or mitigate or make her feel better about at all times. Like, I don't know. I'm not really offering a solution other than like maybe look at like, this is just a hard ass conversation and it will feel bad. And there are, I think, many people who would call it a fight kind of no matter what. So, so maybe like if your only goal is to avoid a fight, that isn't going to be potentially most useful for you in the long run. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm saying shit that is right at the edge of being very irresponsible, or maybe is very irresponsible, but I'm like, right? Like,
well, I just think everyone's different. Like, Andrew, I think maybe you're more comfortable, maybe because you've hit a wall enough times with members of your family that you know it has to be a fight.
Yeah.
When maybe I've been a little more fortunate and I've been able to bend and, I've been able to have productive conversations with people in my family, or there's just people I just don't talk to or fuck with. But I don't often choose fight because it's easier for me to just be like, okay, well, that's someone I don't talk to, or this is someone that's worth me working on. But it's just, it's just what your methods are, what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like start a fight. I'm just saying.
Sounds like it started.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's like the fight is happening.
She's already started it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
Now it's like, do you want to be in the fight more? You want to get out of it? What do you want to do here?
Yeah. Maybe that's it. It's just like know that, you know, fighting for yourself is not necessarily wrong, inherently wrong. It might not be the right move. It might not be the best thing for your relationship with your mom. And there might be reasons to preserve that outside of this call, or preserve it in a certain way that are not encompassed within this call. But, you know, sometimes there's people with bad ideas that have to be fought.
That's true. Like the people who made that bookmark.
Oh, I just hate them.
That's a bad idea, and they need to be fought.
Clever. God. All right. It's just that she said clever twice. It was the second time where I was like, okay, hold on. I didn't
catch that.
It was as if, like, she had to, like, okay, let me just get it out of my system real quick, because it is just too dang funny, this bookmark. It's, like, really, like, work it out before calling.
Yeah. I bet it's cute. I bet what we're lacking without the visual, I bet the drawings were cute. I bet the bowl of soup had little eyes. I bet it's adorable.
And this person is probably like nice. And
this person's nice, this caller's nice. Sorry we're dragging you. But I mean, that's part of why you call in. Be real, you guys. You call in to get low-key dragged a little bit, and you know
you
it.
You sick fucks.
And you're just happy we're not dragging anyone for being a racist lately. Lately we're just dragging you because we're like, your comedy taste is bad.
Yeah.
And when you're a mom of like a young kid, you see a bunch of stupid shit that's supposed to be funny that's not. So I think you get real excited when a cute thing makes an unexpected pun.
Yeah, that's true. I guess compared to the other shit this woman likely has been consuming, this is top notch.
This is highbrow.
Perfect. Did we solve anything? Oh God, what a just a. You know, everyone, please try to find something good. Try to take care of each other.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
If you care about Star Trek at all, me and my friend Paul F. Tompkins, we've been hosting the official Star Trek pod. And this week we did a very special episode. It was me and three other Black women who are... Well, two of them are like Trek experts, and then Michelle Hurd, who is in the new series Picard, and then me. So it's kind of wild that it was like four Black women who know about Star Trek talking about Blackness and Star Trek. And I have never spoken to that many women or that many Black people about Star Trek in one place. So it was a really cool conversation. And Paul is not in it. We do a little intro, but he's not in the convo. So it's literally just four Black women talking about Star Trek. So if you like that, you can find that wherever you get podcasts, but apparently except Stitcher. So sorry, I don't know what that's about. I don't know, all these companies are mad at each other, and I'm not paid enough to keep up with it, so find
no
it somewhere
one
else.
Care. Yeah, just find it. And I guess thanks to everyone who came and watched our live stream at the Pygmalion Festival.
Yes,
it's fun to do. What else? I guess that's true. There's probably some people for whom this is their first episode, and it's mostly like this. Sometimes it's not.
It's kind of like this.
Yeah.
Thanks to the callers for saying hi to Matt. I don't know that we plan to change this formula anytime soon, so keep saying hi to Matt.
I love it.
If you have a guest, we'll just call them Matt.
Yeah. Just Matt.
Yeah.
Matt equals guest. What else? 323-389-7223. 323-389-RACE. Yo, is this racist? Trondi Newman. Matt Apodaca. Andrew T.
Those are the handles. But if you have a racism thing, just at the show. Just at the Yo account. Do not at us. No quicker way for me to mute you. Just no quicker way if you come to me talking about some racism. I don't. Yeah. That's not what that's there for. That's why we have the Yo account.
That's what it's for. Just ask about lizard shit. Ask Tawny about lizard and bird shit.
I want to talk about a roadrunner in your residence. That's what I want to hear about.
And if you got something else to say, shut up, because it's roadrunner in the house. All right, that's it. Bye, folks.
Oh, man, it's going to be so lonely on Twitter. I'm sorry.
No, you should feel good.
The title of the episode is going to be Spaghetti Up.
Bye.
Bye.